Welcome to the Joe Thomas in the Morning podcast. I can say that with some authority, being Joe Thomas. What is about to follow are highlights strung together in context of this morning show on WCHV Radio in Charlottesville. You can stream it online anytime at WCHV.com or download the new smartphone app, which also gives you access to these podcasts. Who knows? That may be how you got here in the first place.
I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Thank you for indulging. You hang out with me in my particular case of Stockholm Syndrome. I love this city so much. Second greatest city in the history of mankind, but boy, she is tough to love sometimes. I've been told that I needed to meet Bellamy Brown, running for Charlottesville City Council, and it's an honor to have you in the studio with us. Bellamy, thanks for coming on in. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
How's the campaign going?
Oh, it's going well. I'm having a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of work, a new challenge, obviously. But, you know, I'm up for it. And, you know, this is my wheelhouse in terms of formal education. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Well, you grew up in Charlottesville.
Correct.
Black Knight proud. And,
yes.
You know, now I see you're in the Sorensen Leadership Institute.
Correct. Yes. We started that back in March.
Really good program there. Absolutely. And as well, talk about what was your tipping point to want to put yourself out there. Now, you're running as an independent.
Correct.
So this isn't one of the derby to find the three seats in the Democratic primary. So I guess, you know, you're focused on November, an independent run. What was the point you said, I've got to do this?
Well, I think it started, you know, after August 2017. I think that in terms of leadership, there could have been steps that could have mitigated against that. I didn't see that. I felt like you know, the city council owes the community, you know, and the stakeholders a duty of responsibility, and I didn't see that take place. And so I looked at my background, you know, looked at you know, everything that I had there, and thought that I could, you know, bring something to conversation, bring something in terms of collaboration and sound leadership to what our city needs right now.
Well, let's talk about that background a little bit then.
Sure.
What things would you have brought to the table that could have helped us? I mean, I was there. I still have clothes that smell like pepper spray covering it.
Sure.
There.
Well, I'm talking about up to. I mean, prior
to. Yeah.
And this is you know, obviously, you know, looking at the rule of law, which with regard to some of the issues, the core issue itself. You know, you have to go to the General Assembly in terms of, you know, the whole, you know, statue issue, whether you're on one side or the other, that's the starting point. And if you already know that, you know, and you're trying to circumvent that, that doesn't bode well for anyone. That was there in place for a reason, whether you agree with the decision or not, the law is the law, and that's what. Those are the steps.
Do you think, and I was struck by this, you know, living through not just August 11th and 12th of 2017, but that slow-moving car accident that led up to that weekend, back and forth about the park, the statue, the name. It seemed to be that this was a tempest that was put into a teapot for no other better reason than to score some political points that then almost predictively got out of control and became something that I don't even think the people who started it for the political score knew it was going to wind up becoming.
Well, I can't speak as to, you know, someone's motivation behind it. I can only look at, you know, what the facts are, and looking at it from an analytical and objective perspective, seeing what the law is, and these are the steps that should have been taken that weren't. As far as, you know,
Well, talk about working with other counselors. I brought this up, and I've already picked one candidate for city council, Paul Long.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little quirky, but he has the one issue I think that is so important to the city of Charlottesville going forward is representative districts.
Sure.
But, you know, when we look at working together, when I made this presentation to city council, Dr. Bellamy, mm-hmm. the other Bellamy I voted for city council,
sure.
and I'm not shy about admitting, when I first met Wes, I was a big fan of what he did with his hype program and mm-hmm. working with kids and, you know. He asked me, well, what would representative districts do, you know, to collaboration? Mm-hmm. Why would I work with Kathy Galvin if she represented a different district? And I don't think he quite understood how the representative republic mm-hmm. system works, sure. where you can't just pass something because you say so. You sure. have to get coalition building.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fundamental. I mean, if you look at the numbers, whether it's ward system or at large, you still have to have three or two other mm-hmm. Council members to get anything passed. So,
right.
So I look at it from the, and I've done my due diligence behind it, and there are, you know, pros and cons to both. I look at it from this standpoint, again, being a student of government and politics, we represent everyone, whether they voted for us or not. Because I look mm-hmm. at this as a community perspective, and even if you didn't vote for me, you're part of the community, and we have to be raised together. So in order for us to be raised together and me to do that as a leader, I need to find a way to collaborate with two other council members to get the people's business done.
So when you talk about your experiences and your background,
yes,
you've worked obviously going through Sorensen. Sorensen's a great program when it talks about mm-hmm. Taking the ideology and the campaign bumper stickers out of it and working together with each
yes,
other.
Sir.
What else have you done in between CHS graduation
sure.
and here?
Sure. So I'm a Marine. So
God bless you. Hoorah!
Hoorah! Yeah, it's and that was kind of the initial foray into leadership and working well with others. As a matter of fact, the current commandant of the Marine Corps was one of my commanders down at Camp Lejeune, and kind of instilled that sense of duty and service and working together as a whole. From there, went to James Madison and kind of got the foray into politics and mm-hmm. finance, but more so in my business career, I've had to, when you're solving business problems, you have to work across different business units
mm-hmm.
and being able, whether it's getting deadlines or doing a project, you have to work with others. And so over that time frame, and I've been doing that, over a decade, I've learned how to work with others, difficult people, as well as people who are on your team
mm-hmm.
to be able to get things done. And that's the way I look at it.
Well, talking about mission critical with the Marines. Bellamy Brown is here. What is your best web access? Is Facebook, direct website?
Yes, my website right now is pretty simple. It's bb4cc.org.
Okay.
And it has my core platform, and then I'll go into the issues ability.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
The NTT IndyCar Series roars to life once again at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's the 103rd running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500.
Power arcs it into turn number one from Toowoomba, Australia. Arguably the greatest driver of his era without an Indy 500 win.
Listen Sunday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Brought to you by Charlie O'Ball Chevy on WCHV.
And we're visiting with Bellamy Brown for City Council, bb4cc.org, probably the easiest website address to remember in this. I appreciate it. So I understand that August 11th and 12th, 2017 is always going to be there.
It's, sure.
But I want to talk about more some of the seminal things that I think feed a lot of our discourse mm-hmm. Or discord.
Mm-hmm.
There are real economic issues. My friend Ridge Schuyler at the Network to Work program did amazing research in showing where the poverty was and that 25 – One out of four Charlottesville residents can't afford to live in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. That's heartbreaking. How do we create an environment where there are more jobs available for the kid, whether it's Hardy Drive or Cherry Avenue or Johnson Village, you know, wherever it is, so that they walk out of their house knowing I can find something in my town that will pay my bills?
Sure. And I actually just spoke with Ridge this week. We're due to have an upcoming meeting because he presented his program and what he does.
And I realize I just did something. I can't mention Ridge without mentioning Frank Squillace along with him. So there you go, okay. Frank. I don't want to get the text from Frank saying, hey, what about me? Am I chopped liver? So, it's important stuff. Orange Dot report, it just as data is so important to me, to a city councilor, to make sure that when they're thinking about how do these folks work their way out of the poverty they're in.
Correct, absolutely. And that's why I like Ridge's program, and I want to be, in collaboration with him, and we still have yet to talk about this, but in terms of getting that scaled, I like what K-Tech has done in terms of, setting kids up for, having jobs outside of high school. I think there are a number of opportunities around here that can essentially open up that bottleneck to facilitate, this is where I grew up. Off of 12th Street, 10th and Page, West Haven, those are my people. I have family that still lives there. So this is a driver, for me as well, because I've gone away, done some things, have experienced that myself, and I want them to have the same opportunity. So it's scaling those things that are there and really kind of loosening up the bureaucratic bottlenecks that kind of prevent some of those things from happening. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of things that are going on, and I think we're still on the cusp of moving a lot of those things forward.
Well, and anything we can do, are there things that you would like, because I know we talk about job skills training frequently, but there needs to be a goal at the end.
Sure.
And I feel like Dave Norris and I have talked about this. He was on city council, he said he had identified, and he had sort of a tipping point with his being in office at the time, when he started to see that the numbers were not adding up.
Yeah.
Helping people with their rent and their electric bills was, that number was growing faster than the tax generations in the city, and that if we didn't start creating better job opportunities, the city was just going to become unsustainable in trying to help people out of the goodness of our hearts.
Yeah.
Are there zones? I hear people say, oh, the city's pot bound because we're restricted in districts. Mm-hmm. Maybe working with the county through the revenue sharing agreement. Everyone likes to vilify it. I look at it as an opportunity to maybe create better job opportunities in both areas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that working with the county is going to be a significant part of, the solution that's there. I was reading in Governing Magazine in terms of, right now Charlottesville is going through a transition, and we're kind of the center of this regional perspective that not only, we're looking at here, but also, the federal government has a program where they're looking at things regionally. But going back to that, we are the city is kind of like the center part, and we have to start, expanding some of those regional opportunities to provide those jobs and everything as well.
What would you say to somebody who is looking to come here? We have the tech center that's being built where the old ice park was.
Yes.
Certainly, Willow Tree Apps is a great, look at the kind of businesses we have here.
Sure.
And manufacturing tech as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying we can't be innovating battery technology or chipboards or processors, because we've got intellectual capital at UVA. Should we be tapping in more to that?
We should. And I think we are. So I do I've worked with our community table, and that's brought together some partners from UVA and other partners in the community, and those are things that we are in the process of tapping more into. So mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely, we have one of the premier universities in the country. We should absolutely be tapping into that. I don't think that we should be siloed in terms of how we govern and operate our city. We need to do this from a collaborative effort and pull us up. I guess the saying says a rising tide lifts all boats.
Oh yeah,
that's
absolutely
kind of the philosophy that we should take moving forward.
Well, I always feel like left out of one of the more common discussions these days is affordable housing.
Sure.
and it ties into what Ridge did. I mean, yes. The better jobs we have, the easier it is to afford the housing that's here, never Absolutely. Mind forcing, you know, whatever may be out there into a lower income range.
Absolutely. And I think the other part too is and I've, you know, I saw a friend, you know, post on Facebook the other day about, you know, her taxes increasing. When you have, you know, stagnant wages or no wages at all, and you have the tax increases, you're only creating that environment that works against the affordable housing aspect. Mm-hmm. So we really have to look at, you know, how are we being fiscally responsible, and those areas where, you know, where we're not, how can we clean that up to alleviate some of those, you know, increases in taxes and things like
that. What about job density? We hear the word density thrown around a lot in housing,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, even in areas where I feel like we could be creating more opportunities, mm-hmm. In the downtown area, because sure. I think it de-stresses transit. Mm-hmm. It de-stresses a lot of things. We talk about walkable communities. Mm-hmm. We should be able to walk to work too. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, we look at the downtown as a place we go to hang out rather than a place we go to work before sure. we go home to hang out.
Sure. I think that transition is starting to change. I mean, you had mentioned the tech center being built. I think they're supposed to be, and this is what I've heard, that it's supposed to be like something like 600, you know, people mm-hmm. In that particular space. So I think as I mean, that'll kind of be a big part of that development. But I don't see anything wrong with having, you know, a mix of both. I think when you start to turn it into kind of a fully, you know, everybody works downtown kind of thing, then where does that the recreation kind of aspect go? Because there's you look around, there's no real other aspect or area in the city that has that.
Bellamy Brown, bb4cc.org. Well, Elliot wasn't wrong. I like you.
And, well, that's good.
You may be filling in one of those slots in my city council ballot. As a Fry Spring guy, I got to pick my ballot here. I appreciate it again.
Yes,
let's do this frequently before sure. November, okay?
Absolutely.
And we'll book it. I know it was hard to get into your schedule.
Yeah.
Sorensen keeps you busy, but tell Bob Gibson to take it easy on you.
I definitely will. And I live actually right down the street from you, so we're neighbors.
All right, very cool. Then we'll just do this on... Yeah, we'll have a barbecue and I'll do the interview there.
That sounds good.